Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 233.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 233. My name is Brendan Lowe. Thank you so much for being here. In today's episode, I'm going to be going over a new type of product that we are going to be releasing on Jazz Piano School called Playbooks. And what I'm going to do is kind of walk you through an example of a playbook and give you some insight into what they're built for, why I'm building them, and how you can use them. And again, honestly, you don't need to be a member of Jazz Piano School to take advantage of this, but it's going to give you an insight into just the process of picking a category and kind of going deep in that one jazz piano category and really expanding upon it, improving upon it, and integrating it into your playing. So we have a lot going on right now, and we're kind of preparing for the holiday season, and we're releasing these new playbooks on Black Friday, actually, and so that's going to be really, really fun. If you're not on our email list, just go to jazzpianoschool.com, and you can do that through any of the blogs or the podcasts and things like that. There's a lot of different options there to get on our email list. You'll get updates from us. Obviously, you'll get all of our free education, and you'll get notifications about all the different releases and things that we have. You can also get a chance to be part of our live podcast audience when we do live filming podcasts. This is obviously a pre-recorded one, but I do those as well, and Sterling will be doing those too. So, you know, I've recently really found it kind of insightful and interesting in things that I don't really know much about, to see the process of how they come to be, right? And one of these things is kind of songwriting. I have my own process for writing jazz and melodies, but I don't really have a process for more heavily produced kind of pop songs or mainstream music with lyrics and effects and, you know, beats and things like that. And I've never really known about that. It's just never been my niche. You know, I've always been in jazz. And with this new band, if you listen to my last podcast episode, with the new band that I'm running, you know, our songs are a little bit more mainstream, right? They have lyrics. They're still definitely our own music. And what I mean by that is they're coming from all the band members' backgrounds, you know, jazz influence, folk, rock, pop, and stuff like that. But I'm finding it really, really fun to write this new type of music. And by new, I just mean anything else besides jazz. And so I've been studying and looking up on how bands kind of go through this process of editing and mixing and adding samples and things into their playing, and how they write their lyrics and their words and what comes first and how do they get it produced. And just, it's just a whole whirlwind, right? So again, I found it very insightful to see that process happening and understand, like, how does it come to be? And I think in jazz, a lot of us, and myself included, in the beginning of my journey, we hear certain concepts. Like, we'll hear, and I want to break it down into categories for you. We hear voicings or the blues or improv or comping, or there's so many different types of jazz piano categories, solo piano, right? Rhythms. And we hear these things happening, and we don't know, like, how do you even get to that point? Like, what is the playbook? Like, what is the path? What is the plan? What is the playbook to get you to that level? And I think a lot of us, we just kind of dive in to try and learn ourselves, obviously. And that doesn't really go so well because we don't really know what we're doing. And we jump all over the place, and we're just trying to, like, scrap together information. And there's no process. There's no structure. What I found watching a lot of these documentary videos is that there is a heavily organized process and structure to actually taking a song idea and bringing it onto an album or the radio, fully produced with all these different sounds, lyrics, and having it be, you know, a great, great song. And I think that to me is just amazing. And if it weren't organized, if it weren't structured, it'd be a total mess. And that's a lot of what happens in jazz piano, is that we try and do it ourselves, and it never really kind of comes to fruition. It never kind of materializes in the way that we want it to. We don't really get better, and we just have these kind of random bite-sized samples of different things that we've learned, and we can kind of play random things, but it's never really great. So with that being said, what I'm going to do for you guys today is I'm going to walk you through kind of the blues playbook in a very summarized and brief manner, so you can see the steps that is happening to bring the blues alive. And I think this is going to be very insightful for you to see all the different steps that like kind of make up the blues and creating a very amazing blues sound from a pianist's perspectives, right? So with that being said, let's dive right into this episode. Here we go. All right, so the first step in creating an amazing blues is just knowing the form. So we just have to know the form of the blues, right? So we got our one chord, and in the most traditional way, the blues is going to be 12 bars. It's going to go to the four chord on measure five for two measures, and then back to the one chord on measure seven and eight. On measure nine, traditionally we have the five chord. Measure 10, we have the four chord. And then measure 11, we have the one chord. And sometimes it'll stay here, sometimes it'll go back to the five on the 12th measure of the blues. So that is the form. That is the form of the blues. Now, the very first step to learning the blues is we need to learn how to play the harmonies. Like, we just need to learn how to get a blues sound from the harmonies. And if you noticed, I was just playing root position chords. So I'm going to give you all examples of a pianist that is playing essentially beginner style stuff all the way up to advanced stuff. All right. So if I play a root position chord, it's going to sound like this. I'll just comp through the blues, right? Here's my four chord, one chord, and I'm kind of going quickly through this, through the form. That's how a beginner would sound, right? Now, to increase this or take your playbook to the next level, to take your blues experience to the next level, the one thing we can start to do is change our voicing. So instead of using root position chords, maybe we just use shells. Now, believe it or not, the shells of a chord 3 and 7, they actually create a better sound than a full root position chord, because we have our bass note down here and our shells up here. So now I'm going to start voice leading my shells in my right hand. And this already starts to create a better blues sound for me to produce. Here's the four chord, measure five, measure six, measure seven. Here is measure nine, measure 10, measure 11, and back to the five chord. So if I play this in time, it would sound more or less like this. One, two, three, four, two, two, three, four, two, three, four, two, two. Now it's already sounding a little bit better because I'm adding some rhythms in as well. So changing the voicings to your blues form structure is ultimately going to be kind of some of the first step in learning the blues and starting to bring it alive. Now we can start to even take this a step further, right? So if we go from shells to maybe rootless voicings, let's say, that's another great next step in the blues playbook that can kind of bring you further into the blues sound. Maybe I use full rootless voicings. I'm not going to go over what those are necessarily. You can find those in other podcasts. But here are the full blues rootless voicings. 4-2-2-3-4-3-2-3-4-4. So now we're really starting to develop a blues sound. And again, some of the things I started mentioning before was that I'm adding some rhythms, some more interesting rhythms, some upbeats, some pops through my comping, right? Now, The next kind of thing we can start to do, again, there's lots of different things in the playbook. I'm really trying to go step by step here. Now, right now, I'm just focusing on the comping. I'm not even focusing on the right-hand improv or anything like that, melodies, stuff like that. I'm just focusing on playing the foundation of the blues. Let's take it a little bit slower, and I'm going to start to move my left hand around just a little bit. Now, there's two paths. There's two ways you can go about learning the blues. You can try and learn group playing, which is going to kind of remove your left hand from that low-end bass note style. So if I were playing in a group, I'm not really going to pay attention to my left hand in the bass notes that much because I have the bass player there. So my blues would sound like this. Rootless voicings here. Here's my four chord. Back to the four. Back to my one. Now here's my five chord. Four, one. Right? And if you'll notice, in the second measure, I'm going to the four chord on the second measure. It's a really nice reharm change that I like. I'll get into those reharms in a second. Or variation, I should say. So now we've kind of added or increased, you know, the value and the sound and the production of our blues by adding full rootless voicings, right? Now, if you're playing solo piano or you want to play the blues in a solo piano style format, in the playbook, we can start to move our left hand bass notes around a little bit and get some of that walking bass line motion happening. And it doesn't need to be much. It can just be a little bit, right? I'm just playing roots and fifths now. Okay, and I actually went half tempo there, just so you could kind of feel more of the walking bass line motion. But again, if I were to take the chord note a little bit faster, right? So like one, two, three, it would sound like this. One, two, three, four. And I'm trying to keep the bass line as simple as possible right now, just so you can hear the difference. So already our blues is starting to come alive, right? And if you're following these steps, these are steps you can take in your own blues, in your own playbook to start to make your blues come alive. And each in particular step, right, you can start to practice and isolate separately. So no matter what step I'm teaching you here, essentially you want to take that step and practice it. For example, if you don't know your rootless voicings and I'm playing in my right hand, that's a step where you're going to stop, you're going to veer off the path, learn your rootless voicings, come back to the blues and start to integrate them into the blues, right? If you're not really comfortable with the rhythms I'm playing, right? One and two and three and four and one and two and three and four, right? If you're not comfortable with those rhythms, then that's where you'd kind of veer off the path, kind of set up camp, right? From the playbook that you're on, practice, get back on the road, start following the playbook again, and then start improving and upping all the skills within your blues, right? So now we got this kind of walking bass line, and there's a lot of different things we can do, but let's just kind of stop for there and think about kind of the sound that we produce. So now we're feeling comfortable. We're comping through the blues, and it's sounding pretty good. Let's talk about some blues variations now at this point, right? So a lot of times in jazz and in the blues has progressed over a long periods of time, and there's a lot of different variations, harmonic variations we can add into the blues to make it sound the way that we want to sound. So at this point, now that we can comp through the blues, right, pretty well, and we're feeling good. It's kind of bland, not really, I wouldn't say bland, but like if, you know, a lot of us want to add in some different things because it's just 1-4-5 right now. Five, right? Two, three, four. So just one. It's just three chords, essentially, that we're playing right now. And a lot of the jazz blues, you know, there's so many different harmonies and movements, right? And we're getting stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Now that what I just played there sounds totally different than what I was just playing before and referring to, right? And that's kind of the step or the motion we're going to start to try and get into now. So the next step in our playbook is really to start kind of going and reviewing some variations and some reharms that we can start to add into our blues. Now I'm going to go slowly with the reharms just because there's so many you can possibly do. Now one of the variations I like is adding the four chord in the second measure. So I'll go back to my rootless voicings for a second. So I can go to the four chord here in the second measure, and that gives it some nice motion, some nice blues motion to go back and forth. So we have one, two, three, four, one chord, four chord, one chord, okay? So already we're starting to kind of increase the momentum and the movement of our harmonies, and it gives it some nice movement instead of just sitting on the one chord for all four measures. Now, the other variation that you're going to hear a lot in jazz is the 2-5 going into the 4. So at the end of the first four measures, you're going to hear a 2-5, meaning C minor 7, going to F7, leading into that 4 chord. So this is going to be on measure 4. You're going to have two beats per chord. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 chord. Now we're on measure 5. So I'll play through all four measures of the first four measures of the blues. 1, 2, 3, 4. C minor, F7, B flat 7. Now we're starting to get into some more movement again, more harmonic movement that's kind of spicing things up. It's adding some flavor, right? So on our four chord, we can just stay here for a while, but there are lots and lots of variations we can start to do. I won't get into those just yet. So we're on our four chord, measure 5. We have our four chord for two measures. Back to our one chord, okay? The first variation I'm going to talk about is instead of going to the 5 chord on measure 9, we're going to go to the 2 minor 7. You're going to hear this a lot in jazz piano. You hear a G minor 7. So I can play a G minor 7 here, going to a C7, going to an F7, right? But we can start to even expand on that more as well. So now I've added this 2-5, going back into the 1, okay? So let's go back to the 4 chord for a second. Right, so now measure 5 of our blues, we got our 4 chord going to the 1. Now a very common turnaround to get into our 2 minor 7 chord on measure 9 is going to be a 3-6 progression. So meaning we're going to go 3 minor 7 to 6, which is a D7 chord. Now typically this is out of the key, but it's a 2-5 relation, meaning we have A minor 7 going to D7, and this brings us into our G minor 7. So now, for measure 5, here's what the blues sounds like with our new variations. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. A minor, D7, G minor 7, C7, F7, C7. Okay? So this is the process. I mean, I don't want to, this episode isn't really about learning all of the variations and reharms to the blues. You can do that separately, but this is the example of how you start to ignite and spark the sound of your blues, because as I start to add in more variations, it's going to sound completely different. And this is all based on technical knowledge. It's just all based on your education. So if you're looking to amplify the sound and really start to throw in some different flavors, then this is the step in the playbook that you would need to focus on. Does that make sense? Because you can't focus on everything all at once. You can't focus on improv lines, playing solo piano, adding reharms, and comping at the same time, right? Because if you were great at all of that, then essentially you would sound like a pro. Right? You'd be doing everything at the same time, and it's just absolutely impossible to do that and to learn it. So they need to be isolated. They need to be realized what amplifies the sound and what is it specifically that you're looking to improve in your own playing. Because everyone, every single student has different levels, varying levels of strengths and weaknesses. And it's up to you because, you know, I can only work with people so much. If you are a member of Jazz Piano School, obviously you'll get more access to me and questions. But if you're by yourself watching these podcasts, it's going to be up to you to self-assess what you need in your blues, right? Do you need more voicings? So for example, maybe you just know your rootless voicings. Maybe you need some more spreads at this point, right? So maybe you need some better two-hand voicings like I was using here, right? Going into your B flat 7. Maybe you need some more reharms, going to that diminished, right? Maybe you need more extensions and voicing work to make it sound better. Maybe you need some more improv work. And that's where the playbook is super helpful, because the playbook essentially helps you understand what every spot is that makes the blues what it is. And again, those are kind of the categories I'm going over right now. So we're talking about variations and reharms right now, only in comping. So I've given you a few. Now, obviously, kind of we went over some voicings, right? And if you increase your knowledge and increase each category that I've gone over, then the blues is going to sound better as you play it, right? So as I increase my voicings, the blues is going to sound better. As I increase my reharms that I'm adding, the blues is going to sound better. Tritone. Four chord, diminished, right? Walking progression. Those were all reharms in a walking motion. Again, new progressions, new reharms, different extensions. These are all reharms and progressions I've studied and learned with my voicings. D flat 7, tritone of the G7, C7, sus. Style, all these different things. I'm not done yet, but essentially I'm just giving you an overview. I kind of digressed a little bit. So we're in reharms. Let's go to improv for just a little brief second. So for your improv, everyone starts with the blues scale, right? Here's your blues scale. Now, besides the blues scale, there's many other blues textures that you can use. You can use the major six blues scale. That's just changing one note. You can use the full major blues scale, what I like to call a full major blues scale. Right? Now, a lot of the things that people play in the blues that sounds good in improv, it's not really coming from the notes. It's coming from different musicality things that they incorporate into their solo. For example, I can use a couple of notes and make it sound fantastic because I'm using textures. Textures like octaves, slides. Those are textures and musicality things that you want to add into your improv, right? So if your improv sounds beginnerish like this, it's because there's not really musical things that are happening. It's very bland. It's not really making music. And even if you start to add in things like motifs, like a repetitive pattern, that's already going to be more musical than that. Or if you start to add in dynamics. So check it out. If I just add in a repetitive pattern, it's already going to start to sound better. That is already making music. It's already sounding better than me just going up and down the blues scale, because that's what music is. It's about textures. It's about feeling. It's about motifs and things, you know, that are repetitive patterns that the ear can hear. Space is a texture, right? Right? So that solo right there was way better sounding probably to you and of course to me than just me just going. right? Just going up and down the blues scale playing eighth notes, that's not really going to do it. That's where we start. And our brain and students don't really realize that it's not about the notes. It's about making music using textures, using themes, using motifs, whether it be melodic, rhythmic motifs, again, repetitive patterns, using different registers, using being as creative as possible to make music, using octaves, slides, dyads, triads, right? Things like that. And again, I know you may not know a lot of those, but that's what I'm here for. So some of the textures that you can start to use are slides. So what I'm doing here is sliding up to that C. Or you can slide up to the A using the full major blues scale, right? So I'm taking tools that by themselves, on their own, sound bland. Like I can't just play the scale up and down. I need to take parts of the scale and start to really inject textures and musicality into that. Right, now it starts to come alive with those textures using the tool. At the foundation of everything, the tool is just a tool, right? Just the scale. And so many times people are like, well, how do I turn the scale into music? This is exactly what I'm teaching you. Now, if I use all my tools in my improv, like let's say I use rhythm, and a lot of times I hear this too, it's a really good example. Let's say a student were to play that line there. That's all chord notes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, or they'll play an eighth note line. 1, 2, 3, 4. Right, what we can do is kind of add some ornamental textures or rhythm to that. Now what sounds better, right? This or this? Right, those textures and ornaments are musicality ideas. They're textures that bring that thing to life. So a lot of you, and a lot of students, and I don't mean you in a, like an offensive way, like me as well. When I started, I was literally just playing a very bland basis of these tools that I would learn online. And it's kind of up to us to really inject some of these textures and work on these textures in our improv category, right? And again, the improv category is just one category in the blues playbook to really bring our blues alive, right? So that's some rhythmic texture. I can add some slides. I can add some dyads. Comping. Right? And so as you can see here, I'm piecing together a lot of different separate things I just went over to really come together to actually make my solo what it is, right? Rhythms, themes, variations, octaves, textures, dyads. And if I start to change the register up and I comp for myself at the same time, then it really gets to the level that we're all looking to achieve, right? Just a small example, right? Now you can start to hear a lot of the things I was talking to you about start to come together. So it's your job to assess what you need. Do you need more textures? Do you need more slides, more octaves, more variation, more contrasting rhythms, right? Is it your improv that's lacking? Is it your left hand that's lacking? Your comping, your reharms, your chords, right? So after your reharm, sorry, I have a couple of notes here. You know, different styles come into play. And when you're talking about styles in the blues playbook, there's so many different ways you can play the blues, right? So solo piano is a style that I was playing here. But again, if you're playing with a group, maybe you just use shells in your left hand. up and down the piano, different things like that. That would be my group style. Then obviously you have your solo piano style where you're doing the bass notes. You're doing the comping as well, right? You got your stride style. More of a stride style comping. You kind of have more of a monk style that would be like just 1, 3, and 7, right? Kind of broken stride. So there's lots of different styles that go into your blues playbook as well, and going to, again, amplifying and bringing together the sound that you're looking for. So to finish things off, right, all the categories that I just mentioned, right? So I started with the form, okay? The form. Learning the form is very, very important. Learning your voicings is very, very important. And ask yourself, where are my voicings at, like for the blues? And I'm just talking about the blues in general. Like, obviously, if you learn more voicings, you're going to be able to amplify the voicing section of all your tunes and your blues a lot more. And when I say amplify, I mean improve. Like, improve the sound of your blues. If you're using more extensions, more colors, maybe some more modal sounds, like some sus sounds, right? That's going to increase the improvement in sound that you're looking for. That's a completely different sound than I was just playing, right? So if you go down that particular path of learning more voicings, that's going to increase your blues as well. Excuse me. And then obviously we had the other categories too. We had the voicings, we had the variations and reharms of the blues structure, adding some tritones in, right? Adding some walking progressions, some sus chords, some more extensions. You can get some sharp 11s in there, some altered chords. That all has to do with kind of variations, reharms, and obviously voicings in a way too, because you need to be able to voice those reharms appropriately. Right, so that may be a combination of two categories. Maybe you need to up your knowledge of reharms and up your knowledge of how to voice those reharms. But maybe your skill set is at a level where you do have a lot of facility with your voicings, but you just need more ways to use them. And that would just be the study of improvement of your reharms and your variations, so that you go into that educational space and learn how to improve that, bring it back to the blues, and then increase that. Right? Now, obviously, maybe you can cop really well. And I've seen this happen, trust me. Someone player can sit down and they're like, they're just crushing their comping, right? And then they go to solo and it's like, whoa. Like, it's you know, severely lacking. It does not match their comping. And clearly that person, that student, has spent a lot of time on their comping, their voicings, their reharms, but they haven't spent that much time on their actual improv. And maybe it's the other way around. They're crushing their improv, right? They're tearing it up, but then they go to start comping and all they know is shells. They don't really know many voicings. So the playbook and the playbooks in general that I'm going to be releasing in Jazz Piano School are meant to really kind of bring you through these big jazz categories, the blues, solo piano, rhythms, colors and extensions, voicings, and help you move through these big categories that can seem daunting and overwhelming, but really break it down for you and give you a guide, give you a playbook, right, to follow and start to increase these particular categories in a way that's a systematic an organized process. Now, again, if you're not planning on becoming a member of Jazz Piano School, that's totally fine, right? But we will be releasing these for our Black Friday special coming up very, very soon. And I'm going to be going over all the things I'm teaching you. And if you're using these things on your own, fantastic. That's fantastic. Really have that self-assessment mindset going into your playing, whether it's the blues, voicings, solo piano, improv, and start to kind of pick apart what is strong and what is weak, and then go after the parts that are weak. Like really say, okay, my voicings are struggling. It's not producing the sound that I want. I saw what Brendan was playing. I want to do that and add that in. Go after that stuff, right? Same with your improv. Maybe your improv's lacking. Maybe your reharms and so on and so forth. I kind of went through all this already. So hope you guys enjoyed that. Definitely go to jazzpianoschool.com to check out all the free education that we have to offer. And definitely get on our email list to get more updates, emails, and specials and releases about the playbooks that are going to be upcoming on Black Friday 2021. And obviously just to get more free education emailed directly to you. So with that being said, I hope you have a fantastic day. As always, happy practicing.